decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods. I am your squirrel, the host. Good to have you with us this morning. Welcome to Squirrel Chatter, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian Podcast Community. So go on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, check out all the other great curated Christian podcasts that are available for you over there. It is Wednesday, the 13th. The 13th of October. And hope your day's going well. Hope you've got a lot on the schedule. I know somebody who's got something big on the schedule.
Space, the final frontier.
William Shatner, at age 90, is about to become the oldest man to head up into space. I've got the live stream going here on my phone. Looks like they're in a hold right now. They've been in a hold for about 15 minutes. So the countdown has 45 minutes left on the clock, but it has been on a hold now. So it's going to be at least 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer before they take off. As the hold, I don't have the sound up, so I don't know why they're holding. Could be a pre-planned hold. It could be there's some condition that needs to be dealt with. But, you know, really cool. William Shatner is about to fly into space. You know, I grew up reading science fiction, watching Star Trek, of course, and also reading hard science fiction books. Robert Heinlein, Isaac Asimov, all those great writers. G. Harry Stein was a favorite of mine. Aeronautical engineer, astronautical engineer, actually the father of model rocketry, as far as the as a hobby. Real big proponent of that. So if you go buy a model rocket kit, you owe the fact that those kits are available, you owe a lot to G. Harry Stein. But I remember reading all the technical stuff about asteroid mining and zero-G manufacturing and all the things that were possible. Back in the 70s, Stein wrote a book called The Third Industrial Revolution. And I've got a copy somewhere, an old dog-eared paperback copy. But in it, he talked about all the stuff that was possible then, with just the right at the end of the Apollo program, with the Apollo-era technology, the things that were possible as far as, like I said, asteroid mining, mining the moon, space colonies, all that stuff. The July 1976 bicentennial issue of National Geographic magazine, and I've still got a copy. The 1976 issue featured an article by Isaac Asimov about space colonies and stuff like that, and the big O'Neill colonies and the big Stanford Taurus colonies. And I remember reading that, and it had wonderful illustrations. I can't remember the name of the author, but it had wonderful illustrations. And so a lot of the illustrations were basically blue-collar construction worker guys building these space stations and stuff. And I was thinking, you know, that's what I want to do. Because I'm in 1976, I was 11 years old. Matter of fact, turned 11, July of 76. So I was right at the end of my 10th year that I was reading that article. And I just remember thinking, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to grow up and do, is be a construction worker in space. Knew I never had the brains to be a, you know, super scientist. And my eyesight was already going, so I didn't have you know, I wasn't going to be a pilot or an astronaut. But darn it, I could be a construction worker. And so that's what I had kind of always dreamed of, was being a construction worker in space. Sure that by the time I graduated from high school, you know, we would be well on our way. And then, of course, in a lot of ways, space development just stopped, mainly for political reasons. Government had a monopoly on space travel, and the government wasn't interested in developing space. The whole purpose of the space program was A, national prestige, to, you know, beat the Russians to the moon. The other thing was to, you know, the space program was a test bed for intercontinental ballistic missiles and rocket technology so that we could have, you know, the weapons that we needed to defend our nation. Good purposes, good governmental purposes, but, you know, development of space was never a real high priority for the government. And that's why I'm kind of really enthusiastic about the commercial spaceflight programs that are going on now. And while, you know, granted, they've received a bunch of government funding and stuff, but you look at, you know, things like SpaceX and thing like Blue Origin, which is what Shatner's going to be flying on here in a little bit, and they've both made successful human spaceflights. Meanwhile, the government program, the Constellation spacecraft and the Space Launch System, hadn't flown yet. And those have been in development for a lot longer. Just once again, shows private industry does things better. We've always kind of known that. So here, you're getting space and economics all in one wind up. Let's get into our Bible reading today. We are reading through the New Testament and the Legacy Standard Bible. We're in the book of 1 Peter today. And we will begin, as we always do, with our prayers. A prayer for our government, prayer for ourselves, and prayer for our scripture study. So please join me in prayer. O Lord our God, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States and to the governors of the 50 states and to all in authority wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Excuse me. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First Peter from the Legacy Standard Bible, chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, as they observe your pure conduct with fear. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on garments, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible quality of a lowly and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being subject to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children if you do good, not fearing any intimidation. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now to sum up, all of you be like-minded, sympathetic, brotherly, tender-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? For even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their fear, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and fear, having a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing good rather than for doing wrong. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might bring you to God, having been put to death in the flesh, being made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal of a good conscience to God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to no longer live the rest of the time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have worked out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, maligning you. But they will give an account in him. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For to this the gospel has been proclaimed even to those who are now dead, so that though they were judged in the flesh as men, they live in the Spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound thinking and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, as one speaking the oracles of God, whoever serves, as one serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial among you, which comes to you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree you are sharing the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be put to shame, but it is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God must entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing good. This is the word of the Lord. I wish you the very best of Wednesdays. Thank you for being with us today. As you go out and about your day, do the things you're supposed to do. Don't do the things you're not supposed to do. And whatever you do, do it to the glory of the Lord. Take care. God bless. We'll see you here tomorrow.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.